you would always pick, if it was basketball, the tallest, the most agile, the one who could, you know, we would call it hoop, right? If you were playing baseball, you would choose the guy that could hit and that could catch. If you were playing football, you would choose the guy who could be the quarterback and throw the ball. You chose the best. And I don't know what God's criteria was, but when God looked out on the earth and said that I want to find someone to bear my son, he chose Mary. He chose Mary.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary.
Where it could have cost her marriage to Joseph. She was a worshiper. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56, we have what's called the Magnificat. And that is where Mary magnifies and praises God. We're going to look at that a little later in the message. But she magnifies and praises God. She was humble. You know, who am I? This handmaiden of the Lord. That there was a humility in her. Where maybe some who would have been chosen, they might have, you know, stuck out their chests and raised their fists and say, look at me. Look at who I am. But Mary received it in humility. And then we know that she was reflective, that she thought about a lot of things, that she was meditative, that she was contemplative. And so I believe that it was one or a combination of these things that God looks down and God says, that's the lady that I want to bear the Messiah. Now, I want to focus in on a couple of words this morning as we get into the message. And the first word is ponder. Mary pondered. And you know, as I looked at this, and the two words jumped out me specifically that helped me to kind of put in mind maybe some of the things that she was thinking, if not some of the things that she was thinking, at least probably her thought process, right? Just from two words that we see in the text. And I believe that, you know, when they use specific words in the Greek language, that they represented specific things. And so the word ponder, she pondered these things in her heart, comes from the Greek word sambalo. And you know what it means? You know what this word means? It comes from two Greek words. And it means to bring together in one's mind. And so what was Mary trying to do? She was trying to bring together all the things that had happened to her. That she was trying to piece it together in her mind, when it uses the word ponder. What were some of the things that she was trying to piece together? Well, there was the angel, Gabriel, that appeared. And he showed up and tells her that she's going to conceive a child. So she's got this. And I don't know if you have ever had one of these puzzles, right? 1,000-piece puzzle, 500-piece puzzle. But you sit there and you try to put the puzzle together. And what do you do? You know, you just don't throw the box up and the puzzle lands on the table and it's all together. But what do? You meticulously think through each piece. You pull a piece out and you say that this piece is the same color as that piece, that this piece looks like it might fit over here. And then you try to put that piece in there and it doesn't fit. So you pull it back, and then you begin to look at other pieces. And you you know the process that you go through to have to put a puzzle together. And so Mary is meticulously going through the angel that shows up and tells me that I'm going to have a child. And then she thinks about her visit to her cousin, Elizabeth, and how that when she goes to visit Elizabeth, that the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaped victor, right? And so she's, you know, I got this over here. Then I got this over here, you know, and how does, you know, this all fit together? And then there was the shepherds, right? Can you imagine that she's sitting there or lying there, whatever the case might be, and all of a sudden, these musty shepherds show up out of nowhere. She wasn't expecting them. And they came and they said, you know what? Not an average person that they would talk to and tell this, and they wouldn't even believe it. You know what? We were out in the field, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to us. And man, we started shaking in our boots. And the angel said, fear not. And because I bring you good tidings of great joy. And then you know what those angels told me? The angels told me that there was a sky filled with the heavenly hosts. And they were singing glory to God in the highest and peace on those whom have received his favor. And they came and they told her that. Now, had that the first angel or Gabriel not appeared to Mary, she might have had a hard time when the shepherds came and told their story. I got this piece right here, right? I got this piece right here. Now how do these fit together? Then I got another piece that I got to try to fit in there somewhere. And then I believe a final piece is the fact that who am I that I should be the mother of the Lord? And that's another piece that she has to work with. And you know what? I'm not sure as she fit all the pieces together or not fit them together, as she pondered, which the word means to bring together the pieces in your mind, right? I'm not sure what conclusion that she came to, but I would have to think that one conclusion that she came to, my, this is no ordinary child. This is no ordinary child. And I have to believe that in her musings that evening, that she had to think about, you know, who is? I like that one song that's called the Stupendous Stranger, right? Who is this stupendous stranger that lies before me? And so I believe that as Mary pondered that she came, even if she came to other conclusions, that this was one conclusion that she came to, this is no ordinary child. What were some of Mary's other musings as we look at that? What's the next word? So we see the word ponder, all right? The next word is kept. Little four-letter word that we find in the text. Little four-letter word in the text. Kept. She kept these things in her heart. And I looked up that word, and that word is centereo. And I just began to look at the word pictures that were associated with this Greek word. The word pictures alone present a powerful picture of what was going on in Mary's mind, in Mary's heart. I looked up the etymology of the word, and it gave several different meanings. One meaning was to preserve from perishing, to conserve from ruin. And I thought, how does that work in what Mary was dealing with? You know, it deals with the idea of preserving documents. You know that when you have a document, you know, my wife has a football from Troy Polamalu, signed with his signature. So, you know, we're hoping that he goes into the Hall of Fame this year, right? Because that that ball is going to be worth some money. But I was talking to some guys yesterday. We were talking about Troy maybe going into the Hall of Fame, and they were telling me that you need to go get a case and put that football in it, and that the case actually preserves the football. And I said, okay, check, got that. So that's the idea here with Mary, is that Mary wanted to preserve the things that she thought about that evening from ever leaving her mind. That as long as she lived on this earth, that whatever it was that she was contemplating, that she was thinking, that she wanted to preserve it so that it would not ruin or so that it would not perish. That these ideas and these thoughts and these realities, that they would not be corrupted, that they would not be tainted, but they would be pure in her mind and in her heart. The second meaning of this word, centereo, is to store, to keep. It says she kept these things. It means to store like you're storing a treasure. Like you have something valuable, like you've got your diamonds and all your jewelry, and you put them in a box and you lock it up and you keep it. You put it there to store it. That it meant so much to her. That the things that she pondered, that they meant so much to her, that she stored it away in her heart at a place that she could always go back and visit. And then I like the third word picture, is to watch over or to keep safe. And it's like guarding a valuable document, guarding something that's valuable. That Mary had received these thoughts, these musings, and she put them in her heart, and she guarded them. And no way, Jose, was she ever going to let anything take those thoughts from her. So can you imagine all of her life that Mary has this treasure? She has this document. She has something to keep safe as she journeyed through all of her life. And you know, I believe when it came in most valuable, can you imagine that when she was standing at the when she was standing at the cross, watching her son die, how many mothers here would want to stand and watch your son die? Just watch him. And see people ridiculing him and seeing him being abused, but you stand there and you watch him die. You watch him bow his head. You watch him give up the ghost. And Mary pondered all these things. She pondered all these things in her heart. She treasured them in her heart. And I would have to believe that as she saw her son dying on a cross, that she went back to that holy night in Bethlehem. And she began, if you go back to that slide before, she had to say, as hurt as she was, as broke as she was, that she realized this was no ordinary child. This was no ordinary man. This was no ordinary, as she treasured these things in her heart. And I began to think about some, I call them, paradoxical musings of Mary. Some things that if you go to the next one, things that make you go, And now, what is a paradox? All right. Somebody said it's two doctors. No, it's, no, that's not. A paradox is two opposites that are true. Two opposites that are true. That's a paradox. Look at this paradox. Mary's paradoxical ponderings. She was a mother of the Lord, yet she was a human woman. Her son was the light of the world, but he was born in darkness. The angel called him great, but he lied beside her weak. He was to sit on the throne, yet he was lying in the manger. He was the savior of the world, but he was only seen by few. He had no earthly father, yet he was her human son. Wow. Man, just think. These are some deep thoughts on a holy night, right? He was to wear a crown and a robe, but he was wrapped in garments of poverty. She stroked the cheek of her son, but yet she touched the Wow. She touched the face. He stepped into time, yet he existed in eternity. Wow. Deep thoughts. Deep thoughts on a holy night. Now, I believe that there are some thoughts that we definitely know that she had, because she reveals those thoughts to us in something that is called, and I've been saying this word several times, the Magnificat. The Magnificat. And that is Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. If you'll turn there, Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And that word magnify is the Latin word magnificat. And it actually means to magnify. And so this is the Magnificat. It's taken from the word in that verse, magnify. And as we look at her magnification, and this is her verbalizing what's in her heart, right? So I would have to believe that on that night, that as she meditated, that maybe some of this Magnificat was in her heart. You know, because when you think about something, you have a tendency to think about it again and again. And so I believe that she thought about these things. She thought about the omnipotence of God. Look at verse 49. As she lifts up her praise to God, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and his name is holy." He that is mighty, the almighty God, has done great things to me. How about you, my friend? Has the Almighty done great things to you and for you? When you think about the fact that there are some things in your life, I mean, just think about Mary. There were things going on in her life that she could only attribute to the Almighty. I don't know about you, but I've seen things that have happened in my life that there's no other explanation that God did it. That the Almighty God of the universe did it. So let me ask you this question. When was the last time you stopped and you meditated on something great that God did in your life? You know, if I could just share real quick, many of you know this, that a couple of weeks ago, my grandson was on his way to school, and he passed out in the middle of the street. And he was laying face down in the street for at least 15 minutes before, and you know, people just rode by. And I, you know, sometimes you can kind of understand that, you know, people see somebody, they don't want to get involved. But praise God for Brother Ed Brown, who didn't even know who it was, but he stopped. And he cut, you know, somebody called the paramedics. I'm not sure if he did or somebody. And the paramedics came and they turned my grandson over, and Ed said, "Oh, my God, that's Corey." He didn't even know who it was. But yet and still, God protected him as he lied in the street. You know, praise God. He's here this morning and, you know, praising God and, you know, doing what God would have him to do. But when you think about the great things that God has done, man, we can rejoice in knowing that. Notice what else that she does. She praises God for his benevolence. She praises him for his benevolence. He has done great things to me. He has done great things to me. Yeah. I mean, I can brag and I can talk about other people, but he has done great things for me. And then she praises him for his holiness, for his holiness. Now, we got a little situation going on in the back. So, you know, y'all turn around and look, and then we'll get back into the word, all right? All right. Amen. Father, we pray for whatever is happening in the back. Lord, we just ask that you would touch, Lord, that you would work according to your honor and glory. Lord, we don't know what's happening, but, Lord, we know that you do. And we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just allow your healing power to flow, and that you might be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. She praised him for his holiness. She said that holy is his name. And then she praised God for his mercy in verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on them who fear him from generation to generation. Now, as we think about Mary pondering these things in her heart, she didn't verbalize it. You know, she verbalized it in the Magnificat, but I don't believe she verbalized it on that night. So you know what I entitled, her ponderings on that night? Silent praise. Silent praise. That just in her meditation, in her musing, that she just praised God silently. Silent praise. And as we think about how we can reflect on Mary's life, I'm going to close with this. And that is, Mary had to ponder her redirection. She had to ponder her redirection. What am I saying? That Mary's whole life was redirected. Her whole life. You know, they tell people that whenever you have a baby, what happens? Your whole life is redirected. Your whole life has changed. And Mary's life was redirected. And I'm sure that she pondered the redirection of her life and how that her life was going to be changed from that point. Has there ever been a time when God challenged you to redirect your life? What was your response? What was your response when God redirected your life? Maybe it was the redirection of a relationship. Maybe it was the redirection of a job. Maybe it was a redirection through an illness. Maybe it was a redirection through you being challenged to do something beyond yourself. But God redirected your life. Mary's life was redirected. And I would have to think that on that night that she pondered the redirection of her life. And as we think about that, what's some advice for us? Four things, and I'm going to be real quick. The first one is to seek God's favor. That when God begins to redirect your life, seek his favor. The Bible says that Mary was highly favored. The second thing is that Mary was fearful when the angel came. And so what do you have to do when God challenges you beyond something that you can do? Is that you have to what? You have to silence the fear. You got to silence the fear. You got to say that I can do this. I don't know how. There might be something that causes me fear, but I can do this. Mary silenced the fear. The third thing is that she submitted to the redirection. That after that, she gave God no argument. After that, she gave God no opposition. She redirected her life, and she submitted to it. And then what's the final thing that she did? She sang, right? She sang. And we know that in Luke 1:46, the Magnificat is what? A song magnifying God. She sang. She rejoiced. She praised God for being in control of her life. So when we think about Mary, truly she had some deep sorrow on the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Savior is Born. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus. 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.